Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
God is always at work, and it's such a great reminder when we get to say those lyrics that even in the most dire situations, even in the situations where it feels like nothing is happening, we get a reminder that God is always working things out for the good of those who love Him. And that's the first reality of experiencing God, that God is always at work around us. He's always working. And you know, Jesus had this conviction. Of course He did, right? In John chapter 5, the religious leaders, they got mad at Jesus. Because Jesus, man, He went to the pool. There was this pool, and He found this invalid, this disabled man who had been sick for 38 years, and He healed him, right? He made him better. And folks were mad at Him. Why? Because He healed them on the Sabbath. It's supposed to be the day of rest for the Jewish people, according to Jewish tradition. And so the religious leaders were mad at Jesus. You can't be working on the Sabbath. In verse 17, it says this, in His defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill Him. Not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, and He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." So Jesus, we learn here, Jesus was simply doing what His Father was doing, working. He was working. And what is the Father busy doing? Well, the Father is always actively at work redeeming this lost world. So that's what Jesus was busy doing His part to redeem this lost and dying world. Oh, and by the way, Jesus closes out saying, hey, listen, and we're just getting started. You're going to see even greater things than this. See, we're going to call that the Jesus flex. That's when Jesus flexed on them a little bit, like, you like that? We're going to show you a little bit more than that. Keep watching. But in all reality, I mean, it's so comforting and so reassuring that even though we get tired, God doesn't get tired. Even though we sleep, He doesn't slumber or sleep, right? Even when we're ready to give up, there's no giving up for God, right? That no matter what's going on, God is like, I got you. I'm working on your behalf. I remember talking to my youngest daughter, 6-year-old Aria, and she's all into making these connections. I love that about her. And one day she goes, Daddy, you know, with God, you know, He's everywhere, right? But, you know, if everybody prays to Him at the same time, then God will only be able to, you know, answer the prayers of some people. And then some people are going to have to wait because He can't, you know, He has to give attention to some people and not to others. Right, Daddy? And I'm like, actually, no, Aria. God can listen to all of our prayers and work on all of our behalves at the same time. Wow, right? And that's like, that was a moment there for her to understand that God doesn't live by the same limits that we live by. You know, in experiencing God, the author, he talks about how God did not create the world and then abandon it to function on its own, right? He's been actively involved in human affairs throughout history. In fact, he actually orchestrates history. But because of sin, humanity has been separated from a close relationship with God. And so God is working in this world to bring about the redemption of those who are alienated from him and who are facing imminent judgment and destruction. And so the Father is working through Christ to reconcile the world to himself. That's what he is doing. But in God's sovereignty, he has chosen to accomplish his work through his people. And so as he carries out his mission, he seeks to move people into the mainstream of his activity. And Moses in the scriptures in Exodus is a great example of this, right? You know, many of us were familiar with the story of Moses. The fact that he even survived his infant stage is a miracle in and of itself, because they were being instructed to kill all the newborn baby boys because Egypt wanted to stop the spread of the Israelite community. The community continued to grow and to flourish even under strict and harsh oppression. And so Pharaoh was like, kill all the baby boys. And then they're like, throw them into the Nile. And so, but Moses survived. His parents put him in a basket, put him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he grew up in Pharaoh's household, right? And so then after that, he starts understanding that he is an Israelite, right? Even though he's living with the king of Egypt, and he's seeing the oppression. And so one day he sees that a Egyptian is beating one of his Israelite people, right? And so in the moment's notice, like, Moses turns into an activist, right? And he steps in and he ends up killing this Egyptian. Then he finds out that people have heard of what he has done. So he runs away and he goes and he finds a family in Midian, and he marries Zipporah and has children, and he's out just tending his flocks, right? Just moved on with his life. And that's when God called him to rescue the Israelites from slavery. Now, here's the thing we got to understand. Like, this was not something Moses came up with. This wasn't his dream. My purpose is this, and I'm going to. No, he was just trying to stay. He was trying to stay out of it. But God was at work, and God had a plan that we know about, and he communicated with Abraham actually over 400 years before this time. And that's what I love to see, that hundreds of years ago, God was already preparing for this moment. God told Abraham that his descendants would be in slavery, but that he would deliver them and give them the promised land. We read about that in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. Okay, so he said this to Abraham. Your people, you're going to grow, but they're going to end up being slaves, but I'm going to rescue them. So then we jump forward 400 years, and here's Moses, right, who shouldn't even be alive. And at this point, he's living a normal life in Midian while his people, the Israelites, are enslaved in Egypt. And what happens? They start crying out to God for help. And the Bible says that their cry rose up to God, and he remembered his promise to Abraham. And so he looked down on the people of Israel, and he knew it was time to act. I love that about God. Even if we just make that personal for us and for our church, for our family, that God listens to our cries, right? And at the proper time, he has a plan that he's going to execute to rescue us, to be there for us, to redeem us, right? Even from the mistakes that we put ourselves into, right? Even into situations that it's our fault. We're guilty of, not God. We've done this to ourselves, and yet He has so much grace, so much mercy that he's there to listen and to save. So God decides that his first move is going to be having a little chat with Moses through, of all things, a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt.'" God tells Moses, he comes to the burning bush, right? And God tells Moses, "I've seen the oppression. I've heard their cries. I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come to rescue them. I have come to give them their own land. Now go. I'm sending you." I know Moses was like, "Hold up, God, I thought you just said you came down to rescue them. You came down to give them this land, right?" And all of a sudden, God flipped it on him. He was like, "Now go. I'm sending you." Why? Because God has always worked through people, imperfect, frail, scared, weak people, so that his name will be glorified. And that's what we see in the story of Moses. And, you know, that reinforces the fact to me that God is always at work, that even though we struggle, even when we stray, even when we run away like Moses did, he's still working his plan and even using all of that and working it out for our good, for the good of those who love him, and for the ultimate plan to come together. Oh, don't we love it when the plan comes together? So we need to be asking God to help us see how he's already working, right? Asking him to join in on what he's already doing. So often we miss out because we have a certain picture or image in our mind of how we're supposed to be serving and what our lives should look like. And when it really should be about, God, how can I partner with you on what you are already doing? We worry so much about ourselves. Oh, I must have this skill set, so I must be doing that. And we miss out. Sometimes we just got to chill, look around, see what God's already doing, and ask him if he would allow us to join him and to partner with him on that. You know, last week I told you about Will. And I told you his story about how he decided to trust God, to make God the center of his life. And he experienced God by choosing God, right? But wait, there's more. There's more to this story, which is usually true when somebody decides to follow Jesus, right? That their lives and the decisions have ripple effects through time and through generations, right? And so Will is now a Christian, and he ends up, we told you he got baptized November 29th. He ends up posting his baptism picture on Instagram, and one of his friends, Kenny, sees it, and he shares it, and they start connecting about what Will is going through and his the way he's changing his life. But little did Will know that Kenny would be going through one of his most challenging times that he's had in his life. And he was in the middle of a nasty breakup. He ended up leaving where he was living with his girlfriend, and he didn't have a place to stay. And Will said, "You know what, man, you can stay with me. I know that you're trying to get on your feet. Come stay with me." And Will's like, you know, I was talking to Will and he was telling me this story. He's like, I would have never done that if it wasn't for God and for what God had done for me, but I wanted to be there for him. Now, Will ends up telling Kenny about how God worked through the brothers that helped him out. And Kenny was eager to meet us, but it just so happened that that Saturday morning, we were having our emerging leaders meeting that we have weekly with some of our young new Christians that are learning how to lead. We have this meeting at, of all places, Will's house. And so what does Kenny do? Kenny comes out of the room and he sits on the couch and he joins our meeting. And he was engaged. He was involved. He was humble. And at the end of the class, I told the session, I told the guys, I said, hey, your homework for the week is this. Share your testimony with somebody this week and get into the scriptures with them. Well, let me tell you that the brothers did not leave that house without, you know, accepting that challenge and putting into practice. When we were done, they went over to Kenny. They started sharing their lives with him and hearing about his life. And Kenny started to work on his relationship with God, to start studying the Bible with the brothers and learning what it means to make Jesus Lord. And now Kenny is ready to be a disciple. You see, God is always at work. Little did we know, little did Will know how God was already orchestrating things in Kenny's life and how God was orchestrating things in Will's life and in our life, and that we would meet on that Saturday morning in a emerging leaders meeting, and the rest is history. Brothers and sisters, we got to stop looking at only what we can do or what we can accomplish. We need to start asking God to give us eyes to see what he is doing. And my prayer is this. See, I know God is always working. I know he's always working. I have a deep conviction on that. But my prayer is, God, let me see it. Let me see it. Please, God, encourage me. Build my faith in that way. And also help me to see it so I can get involved. Now, I think sometimes we can be really good at focusing on what we are doing. And we can become very humanistic and self-reliant. And let me tell you, that's just a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves when we make it all about us. And we don't even do it. Even as Christians, we don't do it on purpose. But we start doing it. We start thinking that the way I talk to somebody is going to be the difference, right? The way I shared this scripture or I shared that scripture, even when we're trying to make disciples, we make it all about us. And I've heard people say, no, I'm not ready yet. I can't lead a Bible study to help somebody. Why can't you? Why can't you? If God used Moses after Moses had told him, listen, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. I can't speak. They're not going to believe that I'm coming from you, God. And God still used him, sent Aaron, gave him a staff that turned into a snake. I mean, gave him like, did miraculous powers through him. Like, if he can use Moses, he can use you to share scriptures and help somebody become a Christian. Stop making it about you. Focus on being a vessel. Just focus on being used by God and put your faith not in your own abilities, your own charisma, your own personality, your own skills. Put your faith in God who can work and through anybody, including a donkey. All right. So let's just leave it at that. What happens when we're trying to live out our Christian walk on our own strength in a very humanistic, self-reliant way? We get burnt out because we're no longer relying on God. And the pressure, if we believe and we look at our lives, we got here, we made it here. I had to work hard to get here. Once we make it there, guess what? Then we have to work hard to keep ourselves there. And then we have to work even harder to get ourselves to the next space. But if we believe that God got us here, then why feel the pressure? I'm going to do the best that I can out of my gratitude for my relationship with God, but I don't need to feel the pressure. God started this. He's doing it, and he will continue to work things out. That's why I love Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. See, if we believe it's God who started the good work in us and around us, then we also believe that God's going to carry things out to completion. Do we believe that, church? That's what I want us to focus on this week. Because even as God uses us, even though we get a chance to partner with God, there's always that temptation to make it about us. Even when good things are happening, even when God is working. And I even thought about that. I was very convicted because as I read this book and I read this chapter, I remember thinking, man, God has something bigger going on than us being in our church building in that community. I'm like, you know what? There's something bigger going on than what we're even bringing to the table. Like it's not about us. It's not about us being there. So now we're going to be the ones that say, no, we're just a part of the puzzle. We're just, we have the privilege and the honor to be part of something that God is already doing in that community. He's been doing it before we've gotten there. He's doing it now, and he will continue to do so even if God moves us somewhere else. God is at work. And so we got to be humble enough to know, God, I just want to do my part. Whatever you want, and that's what I'm going to do, because I know you are always at work. So, homework that I have for you this week. This is your assignment. Your assignment is this. Ask God to open your eyes so you can see where he is working. And when you see God working, I want you to immediately join in on what he's doing.